Welcome to the Master Builders Podcast, the podcast where we discuss issues affecting the building industry. It's the podcast by Master Builders for Master Builders, and I'm your host, Max Rafferty. As we all know, there are only two certainties in life: death, and you guessed it, taxes. As the end of the financial year is fast approaching, the MBA team thought we should talk about getting ready for tax time. So today I'm joined by Mr. Aaron Froud. Aaron is a partner at Bell Chambers Barrett and has a wealth of knowledge about tax, what needs to be done to efficiently manage your tax and stay on the good side of the tax office. With more than 20 years' experience in personal tax services, business advisory and succession planning, Aaron has deep expertise when it comes to tax time. Hey Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, Max. Thanks for having me.
When do I need to start preparing for my tax?
Ideally you start preparing for your tax in the year before. So we start preparing for the 24 tax now. Yeah. And that's in terms of getting just your systems and your procedures in place, making sure you've got, you know, a separate bank account for your business, or you've got your bookkeeping system set up, or whatever it is, because it's much harder at the end of the year to try and go back and retrospectively remember all the things that you've done.
Yep.
Where we see clients succeed is where they're actually just continually capturing that information, so that the end of the year comes along and you say, well, actually, I've been doing this the whole year. Here's the information. Let's prepare our tax returns. So really, hopefully, they just fall out at the end, the tax returns. It shouldn't be the, hey, let's get everything together now and let's think about tax. The year's gone. Because you're lodging, like 15 May is the last lodgement deadline for 22 tax returns, which goes back to July 21. So if you're turning up and seeing me now and saying, Aaron, can you do my 22 tax returns due in 2 weeks' time? I'm asking you questions that are almost 2 years old. And so you're not going to remember them. What did you spend this $500 on in July 21? And you're like, I don't know. So if you've got the system in place and you can actually capture the information as you go, that's a much better way to go about doing your tax.
All right, there's two things that I want to dig into that.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned deadlines.
Yeah.
So talk to me about these deadlines. So I'm out there, I'm working, I'm getting paid, but I'm also spending money.
Mm-hmm.
And so what taxes am I thinking about? Like, we spoke about GST a second ago.
Yeah.
And then I've got my own personal income tax. So can you talk to me about the difference or the similarities and any milestones or big things that I need to be aware of in those things?
Yeah, and probably a step before that is what entity structure are you operating through? So are you a sole trader?
Yeah.
Are you working in partnership with someone? Have you set up a trust to operate through a trust, or have you set up a company? Why that matters is because if you're setting up as a company or a trust, that's a separate tax paying entity. So it's separate from yourself, even though you're running, you're the one out there doing the work.
Yeah.
If I'm operating through a company, the company has responsibilities that are separate to your own personal responsibilities. So then, depending on how many taxpayers you have in your business, each of them will have their own lodgement deadlines. And so GST, usually quarterly basis, but if you get big enough, it'll become a monthly obligation.
Yep.
You'll also then have, if you put people on as employees of your business, you'll then have PAYG withholding, so the tax you withhold from their pay.
Yep.
That often will go as part of your quarterly BAS, but again, if you get to a certain size, that'll become monthly. Income tax rolls around once a year, but you'll have quarterly installments if you get to a certain size as well.
Yep.
So I think at a minimum, you're thinking quarterly deadlines, and usually it's 28 days after the end of the quarter. So say, okay, we've just finished the March 2023 on the 28th of April, so last week, you would have had to have lodged all of your BASs and your installments and your PAYG withholding and all of those things.
Yep.
If you lodge to a tax agent, then you can get different, you can get extensions. So they get a 4 week extension to lodge. If you lodge electronically versus paper, the ATO will have a different lodgement time frame again.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
So if I'm working with you, they say, oh, look, just because Max is a little bit late, that's okay because we trust Aaron. Aaron knows. He knows what needs to happen and he'll be managing. We'll give Max a little bit of leeway because we know that Aaron knows.
Yeah, and that Aaron is going to lodge it in the format and the way that we work with our systems. So they can give you a bit more time on that lodgement. So there is some advantages to using a tax agent from a timing point of view.
Jump into some of the other questions I wanted to ask you. Okay, cool. So you talked about structure. Is GST, does that matter if I'm a sole trader or if I'm a company? Am I paying that either way?
We're paying the same GST either way. Yep. So it's
in the same way, structure.
In the same way and structure. So if I'm operating through a company, that company needs to register for GST, and that company will charge GST on the supplies that it makes and claim the GST on the purchases that it makes. If I do it as an individual, same concept applies. I register as an individual for GST, I charge on the suppliers.
Or when I'm making the decision to go out on my own and I'm looking at those structures that we were talking about before, the sole trader, the partnership, the trust, or a company. Are those decisions, when I'm making those decisions, do I need to take tax into account? Is that an important part of those decisions?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. So your structuring is going to be your legal liability. So you might want to set up a company because you want to separate your legal liabilities. So a company is a separate structure. If I've got personal assets, like I own a family home or something like that, and I don't want to put that on as part of the risk structure of my business, so I want to separate that and put it as a company. But also you want to think about, well, what is the best structure to minimize my overall tax exposure as well?
Yep.
And that's where often things like trusts come in to play, because that allows you to distribute wealth amongst other people, or a company, it pays a flat rate of tax, so you might want to accumulate wealth and you say, okay, well, I'm going to use the company structure to accumulate the wealth because I don't need the money personally at this stage. So you want to think about tax. It shouldn't be the driving force though. Tax should be sort of a subsequent or secondary or later thought. I think you want to think about what's the right structure for my business to achieve the business goals. And then the tax will be the what falls out over that. You don't want to sort of set up a structure just to have a tax benefit. You want to think, what's the right way for my business to go about it?
And I suppose it'd be really hard at the very, very start to even think about what would be benefit. Yeah, because you could be dreaming. I mean, I've known many people who have set up very, very complex businesses. Yeah. Or business structures for businesses that have gone nowhere.
And the law allows small businesses to sort of roll their business over time. So I think that's sort of contemplated that if you start as a sole trader, because that's the simplest, and then as your business evolves, it allows you to roll those businesses into other structures without sort of any punitive tax consequences. So it anticipates that if I've run as a business, as a sole trader for a period of a number of years and it's successful and now actually it's time to transition to a company, it allows you to move your assets into that company or transfer things over.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
So what do I need to do? So if I'm talking to you, I've just started my business and I'm super well organized and I'm going to talk to Aaron and say, hey, Aaron, I know that I'm going to have to pay tax. In the perfect world, how would you like me to set up what would you say? What do I need to do?
I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. I'm going to say, is this a new business, Max? Is this an established business? Because brand new business?
Brand new business.
So I'm going to warn you about cash flow is the first thing I'm going to say, because tax has a lag. Yep. So you make money and then you don't pay tax on that money until much later. So if this is a new business and you've I'll take the example before, you're an apprentice and you're working for wages for someone and you've finally gone out and you're going to be on your own.
Yep.
You start charging an hourly rate. When you were working as an apprentice, you received an hourly rate, but your employer withheld the tax from you.
Yep.
When you go out in business, no one's holding that tax for you. You get the full amount. You get the GST included amount of cash. You get the tax included amount of cash. So I'm going to talk to you about cash flow, about maybe setting up a separate bank account where you can start putting some money aside for your tax bill.
Yep.
Because the problem is, if you start a business on the 1st of July,
yep,
then you won't pay any income tax until you lodge your tax return at 30 June. So that's 12 months later that tax return is then. But you don't actually have to lodge that tax return until 15 May the following year. So it's almost 2 years that first job you've done, you're an apprentice, you now go out and charge someone, you've charged them $100 an hour. You've kept that $100.
Yep.
But 2 years later, the tax office is then going to say, now, Max, you now need to pay me that tax. So if you've just put that money in, it's gone into the pot of all the money that you're going to spend, it's very easy to go, wow, I'm doing well, I'm making money, not thinking about the fact that actually you're holding onto a whole bunch of tax liabilities.
Right. Yeah, that sounds like a massive trap.
And that's the biggest thing that I talk to people about starting a new business, is you want to manage this cash flow. Because what happens in that 2 years is you lodge that first tax return and the ATO goes, oh, okay, Max has started a new business. Max, pay me your tax for last year.
Yep.
But also, Max, I assume that you've done the same thing this year. So now pay me an installment that catches you up to date.
Right.
So you end up paying sort of 2 years tax within 6 weeks first year is a real trap. So I'm going to talk to you about cash flow, managing your cash flow, not going out and buying a new ute because you've made a whole bunch of money. Because
what about a jet ski? surely they're okay.
It's a classic thing. Is a new business starts up and you go, wow, my bank balance is going up. This is great. I'm going to go out and buy a personal asset.
Yeah.
You need to go, hang on, my bank balance is going up, but I haven't paid any income tax.
And
if you're operating a company, you know, you're talking about up to 30, you know, probably 25% in a smaller business,
yeah,
of that cash is going to go in tax.
And is that the sort of thing where, I mean, you know, if I said, oh, okay, cool, I hear you, I'm going to set up, I've got a bank account where stuff's going to come in,
yep,
I'm going to have a set up a bank account which is specifically for tax.
Yep.
But one of the things I'm wondering is, do I just look at the balance of that bank account at the end of the month and say, oh, I'm going to move 20% from my working bank account, or 25% or 30%,
yeah,
from my working bank account just into my tax bank account? Am I going to do that? How do I manage that to make sure it's relevant?
So if it's a brand new business, I ballpark it with a client, I'd say somewhere around 30%.
Yep.
And that's going to help you cover your GST liabilities and your income tax liabilities.
Yep.
Because with the GST, yes, you pay 10% of your income, but you also get to claim on your expenses.
Yep.
So there's going to be some inputs. So the net's going to be less than 10%. And then you've sort of got 25% for income tax. So if you're setting out a bill for $1,000, I'd say, well, put $300 into your tax account, $700 back into your trading account.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And then leave that tax account, and it's going to grow, and it's going to be very tempting. Try and leave it until we've lodged that first tax return and we've got into that rhythm of paying quarterly installments, of paying your BAZs, of paying, getting that cash flow rhythm right.
And if I'm slightly ahead in that tax account, that can force savings, right?
Where it's a great buffer.
Yeah, I can be happy at tax time because I'm not having to dig into my working accounts to deal with tax debts that I may have accrued. Or.
And your point about being happy there, you should be happy if you're paying tax.
Yep.
Because that means you're making money.
Yep.
Right? If you're not paying tax, then your business is in trouble and you've got a much bigger problem.
Yep.
Right. We want to be talking about, yes, I've got tax and I'm going to pay the tax. If you've managed the cash flow right, as you said, comes tax time and we say, great, you've got a big tax bill and you go, I know, I've had a great year, I've made a lot of money, things are going really well, I'm growing or I'm changing. That's what you want. You want to be paying tax.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got to and people have the wrong mindset too often, is that you want to pay tax. You want to pay tax. Don't think, oh, I'm going to get a refund or I'm going to not pay any tax, I'm going to avoid it. That's because you haven't made money.
Yeah. So, you know, it could be one of the, you reckon it might be the next status thing where, you know, people will walk around with their chains, with their
big notice of assessment, their big notice of assessment hanging out there. Look at how much I've made.
Check me out. I'm performing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's hope. Might be the accountants only.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who'd be happy about it.
Yeah.
You know, a few other people would be pretty unhappy, but.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
All right. Do I have to use a tax professional or an accountant to do my tax?
You don't have to, right? So you can try and do this yourself, but what is the best use of your time and where are you going to extract the most value? So if you've spent years training as a carpenter and you've built up a skill set that allows you to go out and work and charge an hourly rate, you'd be better off, rather than spending a day sitting in the office trying to figure out how these receipts work or how my accounting system works, go out and work for a day and pay the guy that actually knows how to do that to do the job. So I think it's more about time and time cost and opportunity cost. You can do it yourself and you can try and upskill, but I think there's value in paying someone that's good at this to do it efficiently, and you use your time on the things that you're good at and maximise the value that way. There's some things like setting up structures and things like that. You have to engage professionals. You can't just go out and set up a company yourself. You'll need to engage someone to establish those structures. But something like a sole trader, you could do that yourself. You could go out and apply for the ABN. But the challenge is you don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
And so you think you've got everything right, and then there's some registration you haven't done, or an insurance policy you haven't got, or you just haven't considered something. So,
And I have to say, having been in this situation, just the very thought that you've got a question mark hanging over you where you literally don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So you go, oh, and then, you know, I have to say, I have been on the not so great end of this where I think I'm doing the right thing, but it turns out I just didn't know.
Yeah.
And so I hear what you're saying with that. I think whilst, you know, I'm not going to say everyone should, I'm going to say, you know, if you're good at what you do, you kind of can acknowledge that someone else is good at what they do and maybe it's money well spent.
Yeah. And I think you want to have a baseline understanding of what your accountant's doing, so you're not sort of just saying, okay, we'll throw it all over, you do it, deal with it, and I'll just tell me what I need to do. You need to engage with your accountant and learn and understand, but you don't need to spend all the time yourself doing the work.
So that to me is really interesting. What sort of things, if I'm your client, what sort of things do you want me to take seriously when we're talking? You know, I mean like we've just said, I'm busy, I'm flat out, right? Yeah. I'm doing all this stuff. I don't necessarily understand your world, but there's a few things that I really need to engage on. What are they?
Yeah, so those things are about your business. So, you know, I'd talk to you firstly about your revenue and where's it coming from and what's your aspirations and where's it going and how's it growing. So that top line, we call it, where's the revenue going? Yep. Then we'll look at your gross profit. So how are you managing your revenue versus those direct inputs? So that might be your labour costs, or it might be other direct materials that you've purchased. Mm-hmm. So you can, and often that's an historical comparison. You want to make sure you're sort of protecting that gross profit margin as you're growing. You don't want to just grow and then have more costs, and so be growing and not actually profitably growing.
Yeah, right, gotcha.
So I want to make sure the clients understand sort of what their cost drivers are and their revenue, and then the bottom line. Yep. Have I actually made any money?
Yeah, so
after all my costs.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
So my business, I've started off, my business is expanding, I'm turning over a lot more money, but then as it turns out, I might be turning over 50% more than I was last year, but my profit is the same number. And then you go, well, now I'm just doing a lot more work.
Yep.
For the same sort of money.
Exactly right. And that's a real challenge that a lot of businesses that are starting out face, is they buy growth. Yep. So they go out and they'll put a subcontractor on, but they're not really making a margin off that, or they'll as you grow, there are costs associated with it, but you've got to try and manage that. And so that's the sort of thing I want to talk to my client about. Are they understanding their business? Not so much is the tax number 100 or 200. It's, do you understand your business? Do you know what's driving it? Give them the confidence to go out and actually manage their business, because I'm not there day to day when they're pricing a job or buying materials or doing things like that. Yep. So you're trying to give them the confidence that, hey, these are the things that I'd be looking at if I was running your business.
Yeah, right, cool. Yeah. I guess if I'm running on this thought that, you know, I understand that the work I do is specialized, and therefore I'm going to look at a tax professional and see that they're specialized. And so on that assumption, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to choose a tax professional. What am I looking for? You know, given if I'm going into it cold, what is it? You know, what should be a tick in my little basket of goodies when talking to someone about working with me in this space?
Yeah. First and foremost, make sure they're actually a registered tax agent. They've got their qualifications, they're licensed, and all those things.
Yeah.
Because that gives you some protection to know that they are going to deliver it. If they don't, there's repercussions for them.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure. Other than that, you want to look at, are you able to work with the person? Because ideally it becomes a relationship that you're not just, it's not transactional. It's not like, hey, here's my documents, give me my tax return and I'll get on with my life. Yeah. You do want it to become a relationship where you can ask questions, you can engage with each other and talk about things. Yeah. So you want to be able to get along with the person.
Yeah.
Cost is going to be a factor. So understanding what their cost structure is, and is that at the right value point for you and where your business is at? Because there's a whole range of offerings. So you can get to your sort of more, you know, basic, I'll just process transactions and see you once a year, through to I'm going to have someone that's going to be more like a business coach and I'm going to speak to them all the time. So understanding what you're after and what you're willing to pay for on that scale is important.
Is it like the difference between just sort of packing a shoebox full of receipts and things like that and seeing someone once a year and just saying, make tax good, versus sitting there saying, oh, actually, you know, I'm wanting to systematize my business better, and having someone to engage with who might help you, say, choose an MYOB to help you manage day-to-day as well.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly. So you've got, I know you might have seen them, you can get your tax done in the shopping centres these days where you just turn up and there's a little booth and someone, you can go and see them and just, here you go, here's my information, can you please prepare my tax return? And they don't know who you are or whatever, but you give them a bunch of information, they prepare it, they charge you a fee.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very low fee, but you're getting a very low understanding of you and your business and what's going on versus coming to see someone who might be a bit more involved.
I think they're going to get a bit deeper and actually try and add a bit more value to you and your business versus just keeping off the naughty list with the ATO.
If I came to you as a new business owner, so I go back to my, you know, I've finished my apprenticeship, I'm now going out on my own, you know, and I'm having the conversation with you, and I'm saying, oh, look, you know, I'm keen to work with someone in the future, but right now I'm teeny weeny, so I don't need your, you know, I don't need all your bells and whistles today, but do you have them? Is that reasonable? Like, if I did that, would you say, oh yeah, cool, we can work?
Yeah, that's a great discussion to have, is to say, this is where I'm at as a business, because your business phase will change.
Yeah.
And so you'd be pretty crazy to start off, you finish your apprenticeship, starting a business and go to one of the big four accounting firms, you know, international accounting firms, and say, hey, can you help me?
Yeah.
But they're operating at a scale that's way too high. So you probably want to find a firm that fits your size of business and sort of, but also your aspirations as well, so that they have capacity to grow with you and change as your business grows and changes.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
Is there any traps that I should be looking out for?
Pub advice. Don't take it. Don't listen to it, because someone else is doing something. You don't understand their circumstances. They might not be right or wrong. They might have a totally different risk profile to you. So we get so many people turn up and say, oh, I've got a mate who's getting a massive tax refund.
Yeah.
And why? And you know, like,
I got a mate who said, no, don't have a tax account. Just store all your money in your Malu boat. Yeah, that might not be the best advice.
Not a great advice. But so many people get caught comparing and going, okay, well, hang on, this person's happening there or that's happening there, and they get this that dodgy advice.
And it's so natural, right? Like, if you're on site and you're driving your banged up old ute, works fine, has all your tools in the back of it, and somebody else turns up with a brand spanking new ute, all sign written. You might
and
feel
they say it's all tax deductible. Happy days.
Yeah.
Don't take their advice. Talk to your accountant about it and understand. Yes, it may be tax deductible, but just because something's tax deductible doesn't mean it's a good thing to do. You can spend $100,000 on a new ute and get a deduction that might be worth $20,000 to you. Well, you've still spent $80,000. If your business is at a point where you don't want to spend that $80,000, you're better off driving the old ute that still works, it's not breaking down.
So
that's the trap that I think a lot of people get into, is they compare themselves and compare the advice that they're getting from other people who are in different circumstances.
Yeah, and you never know either. Like, you never know. Like, the person next to you, like, you know, this is a terrible thing to say, but someone in their family may have died. They may have had a huge inheritance. They may have just decided to spend that money on that.
Yeah.
And it might not be a big deal for them.
They might not have that separate tax account that we spoke about. They might be spending that tax money. And they're just living it up while they can. And then the tax office is going to come later and say, hey, can I have my money? And you're like, oh, I've spent it. And you can't then give the tax office half your ute and say, well, I've spent it, but here's my payment.
You're kind of running from behind.
Then you're chasing.
Always chasing. I mean, that's a hard gig, especially if you decide to, if the tax office is someone you're going to have a relationship with. There's some relationships you might want to get into with the tax office. I imagine some kind of a debt recovery is probably not the relationship you want to get in with the tax office.
And
probably not so much fun.
They were pretty lenient through the COVID years, the tax office. They sort of came out and said, hey, we're not going to chase these tax debts too hard. We understand business is doing it tough.
Yeah.
But that has certainly changed over the last sort of 12 months, where they're starting to say, well, no, actually, we need our money now. We're coming after you.
Is that something you've seen?
That's real, and that's happening right now, is that they are chasing these debts harder. They're not allowing the payment plans that they used to allow. They're asking more questions when you're asking for extensions or reasons. So I think there's certainly a direction from the tax office at the moment. And you just look at it in the broader budget context, and I'm sure when the budget's only a little while away, but money's tight at the moment, and I'm sure there's a direction from government that they need to collect the money that they're owed.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
For your time.
Good to chat.
I could talk to you all day about this stuff, I'm sure. It would be really interesting for me and probably really annoying for you, but thank you for your time.
No, not a problem at all. Good to chat.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
For me, the big takeout is that tax is one specific element of, you know, the whole business, and that if you want to get that part right, you're really probably best to either A, do your research really well and know what you need to do, or just have a relationship with someone who has some deep expertise in the space. The whole mindset of how you set your business up, how you work your business, and the mindset about paying tax, because if you're paying tax, you're making money, you're succeeding. The real takeout is that whilst everyone wants to minimize tax, sure, that's a standard business practice. If you're at a point where you are paying tax, then you're doing well. You are running a business that is working, and that's a success. Thanks for listening. I'm Max Rafferty. Until next time, stay safe.